ADP knows anything you hear, anything you don't hear, anything you kinda heard, anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't, can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
Today on the Free For All, I'll just say it, the best fitness writer in America, Hamilton Nolan. We'll talk squats, we'll talk SoulCycle, we'll talk CrossFit, well, we'll talk a little bit of boxing. Coming up, Free For All.
This is Free For All from the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
Hey, this is Jason. I'm back here on the Free For All. Jim Cherusmi is off covering the New York football Giants. No, actually, Jim's in Thailand. I know this from Facebook. And he's there with his girlfriend having a romantic trip to Thailand. So good for Jim. Joining me is somebody that I've wanted to have on the show for a long time, someone I've looked up to and read and laughed reading for many, many years. I think he is, I'm going to make him blush. We're talking on the phone, but I'm going to make him blush. I think he's the best writer about fitness in America. You know, there's a million people who write about fitness, folks. I mean, a million people who are telling you how to work out, how to change your workout, how to lose weight, how to get fit. And no one does it better than Hamilton Nolan, who writes in the Gawker Media Empire. And joining us on the line, Hamilton Nolan.
Wow, so nice. Thank you, man.
You write about many other things, I should point out, including the very bizarre and capricious world of media. But I want to talk to you about fitness for this.
Great.
So, were you ever a unfit person?
I'm just a normal person. Like, I'm not some crazy athlete or anything like that.
Yeah.
Never, you know, Little League Baseball was my peak of my organized sports career, probably.
And when did you stop playing baseball? At what age?
13, probably. I guess I didn't really start working out until I was in my 20s, really.
Yeah.
You know, kind of in college, probably after college. And, you know, I stopped drinking, actually, is what it was. So then I needed something to fill my time. So I kind of picked that up.
So squats replaced.
Yeah.
What's your squat these days, Hamilton?
You know, well, one of my principles, I never reveal any of the lifts.
That's good. That's wise.
But also, you know, I'm getting old now, so I'm getting injuries at every major joint at this point. So it's also good not to reveal for that reason.
I'm going to bounce around here a little bit, but if you have to do one exercise, if there was one, you know, you were in a isolation chamber in a maximum security prison, and there was only one exercise you could do, would it be squats?
I think probably deadlifts.
Deadlifts,
you know,
yeah.
Probably the best one exercise you can do. I mean, if you're in a maximum security prison, I don't know if they're going to give you a barbell or not.
Probably not.
Part of the prison.
They didn't when I was there, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like the jump burpees. You know, where you do the burpee, like the 8-point burpee, and then when you come up, you jump really high. Those are really good.
How many of those can you do in succession? Can you do like a dozen, 100?
A good workout is you do 100 in however long it takes you to do it. You know, so I don't like the competitive aspect of fitness. You know, like the whole CrossFit. You know,
yes,
you have to beat the next guy and all. I hate that, man.
I would say just
do it until you can't do anymore. It's probably the best.
Well, this is sort of the sort of, you know, subcurrent of everything that you write about with fitness is that, you know, there's part advice in there, but you're also taking on this incredible industry that has built up, you know, really in the last generation, but really, really hardcore in the last, you know, half a dozen years of, you know, super specialized fitness routines. You mentioned CrossFit. There are oodles of them from SoulCycle to all these kinds of places that are willing to take any amount of money off of you, and you sort of cut through the nonsense that exists in a lot of these things. And then, you know, to be fair, you know, some of them have very, very practical and useful applications. But get to the heart of what you actually need. I think there was something you wrote a couple years ago about like what fitness was and fitness. You were talking about the craze of like fit bands and you know, fuel bands or whatever they were. And you're like, you describe fitness as the ability to carry a engine block up a hill like that. Like those are the irregular behavior of strength and fitness. It's not just being able to do one repetitive motion.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's what can you do? That's kind of the whole point of fitness. I mean, it's not like, I guess you can be doing it because you want to look good with your shirt off, you know.
Yeah.
Not really my cup of tea so much. But, you know, yeah, it's really what can you do? It's not, you know, which again is like the reason when everybody wants to list their numbers and say, you know, what you can bench and, you know, here's how fast I can run and here's how many this and that I can do. Like, none of that shit matters. It's just what you can do, you know? And more existentially, it's probably more just how good do you feel?
Now, specifically with CrossFit, I did it a couple years ago, and I think you've said this too. Like, bottom line, it works. I mean, they're teaching you these compound lifts, and, like, that's good stuff to learn. I don't know about the wisdom of doing it fast and repetitively. And we all know the stories about injuries and so on. And I know I'll stop you if you're a CrossFitter right there. I know that if you're getting hurt, you're doing it the wrong way. I get it. Nevertheless, are you surprised or not surprised by just the continued growth of that as a industry?
I mean, am I surprised? I have no idea. I mean, I guess, you know, on one level, it's good. Like, you can look at the CrossFit workouts, and they're good workouts.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is going to contest. I would never contest that. They're super good workouts, you know. I mean, my problem with CrossFit is I really hate the sort of culture of CrossFit. I don't like the...
You don't like the group meeting at the beginning where we all say where we are?
Group exercise. Like, you know, I want to work out alone, you know, in a warehouse where nobody is. Like, that's my... And so maybe that's a matter of taste, you know.
What about the idea... See, if, you know, you're a fit guy, Hamilton, but what about the idea of a little bit of peer pressure? You know, what I benefited from was...
With the preface that, you know, whatever, everybody's different, you know. Yeah. But with that said, I mean, I hate the competitive aspect of fitness because I feel like that it makes people feel like they sort of failed, you know. And you can't fail. You cannot fail working out. I mean, working out is not a game where you win or lose. You know, it's a thing you do to make yourself stronger. And I really hate setting it up in a way where you feel like it's a success or a failure.
Well, what about when the CrossFitters are like, you know, Rich Froning is the greatest athlete on earth or the fittest man on earth? Is that possibly true? Is he fitter than Usain Bolt?
Is it possibly true? Yeah, it's possibly true, but it's true if you define fitness as being able to do CrossFit workouts. I mean, you know, if you were to actually define fitness, you know, you could probably have like 10 dimensions.
Sure.
You could say speed or endurance or raw strength or power or all these things, you know, and then you can, you know, if you want to make a contest, you can weight those dimensions however you want. You know, is the world's fastest marathoner more fit than the world's strongest weightlifter? Like, who cares, really? I mean, I also dislike the fact that CrossFit acts like they invented working out.
Right.
It really bothers me. Because if you go and, you know, if you go somewhere and do overhead squats or you're doing burpees or you're running sprints, people are like, you're doing CrossFit. Like, CrossFit didn't invent that.
Right.
You know, that's just good workouts.
Right.
Like, that's been around for 100 years. I mean,
right.
I find that offensive.
Starting strength, you know, Ripito, you know, that stuff's been around for a long time.
Yeah, way back. I mean,
have you read Super Squats?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A big shout-out to Super Squat.
Have you soul-cycled or done anything comparable to that?
I've done the, you know, before I hurt my back a few years ago and had to stop squatting heavy, I used to do this Super Squats workout, like, I think, like, you know, like twice a year is like a good because it's like a 6 week, it's like a 6 week workout.
Right.
So you do it, you know, you do it for 6 weeks, and then you like take some months and do other stuff, and then.
I'm
like
sorry.
Twice a year.
I think you might have misheard me. I asked if you have done SoulCycle.
SoulCycle. Oh my God. No, I've not done SoulCycle, and hopefully never will.
You know, I know you look at the industry a little bit too, the fitness industry, and is it? I mean. I get the feeling that there's just a lot of venture capital that's flying around right now where people will, you know, start up any old kind of business now and get people, you know, celebrity endorsements and so on and get some fancy studio space in Tribeca or wherever it is in Hollywood. And, you know, they're kind of just trying to grab space in the market here. And a lot of these things, I can't imagine they're sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how big the audience is to pay $40 to do spin classes or really any kind of workout. I mean, I feel like, you know, if anything comes out of the whole CrossFit popularity, I feel like one of the things would be that people learn how to work out. And once you know how to work out, you know, you can work out for free.
This is true.
So I feel like it's a declining market no matter what.
That's true. Diet. You're getting older. How much do you have to pay attention to it? And I have felt as I've gotten older, I'm over 40 now, Hamilton. I'm not ashamed to say it. It is basically more than 50% of the game at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends how much you want to pay attention to it. You know, what are you trying to do? I mean, I'm trying to get
1% body fat.
If you're really trying to get that six pack for the summer beach season, you know, it's definitely you have to diet and not eat the carbs and all that. But if you're just a regular dude, I think it, you just you eat whatever you want. You know, I mean,
right.
You can actually be. Well, you know, it depends. I mean, if I'm trying to do something where I have a need for it, but I will say that, you know, on the times when I've actually had to be on a diet, it's really horrible. It's like way worse than doing the hard workouts is not being able to eat.
Yes. This I've heard a lot, you know, because I'm interested in the bike racing world, and that is a sport with many, many people with eating disorders. And the old line is, if it doesn't suck, it's not a diet.
terrible sport, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. Basically, you're industrializing a eating disorder to compete at the high level.
It's much more tolerable to just, you know, I feel like working out is pretty fun. So just work out and then just eat what you want.
Right.
That seems like a much happier lifestyle.
But they always told me in CrossFit, you can't outwork your diet.
Yeah,
and they were trying to sell me a lot of lean meat. They were always trying to sell me lean meat.
Yeah.
I know I don't want to crap on it because it was an incredibly useful experience for me, and I really did benefit enormously from it. I hurt like hell every day though, and you know, and then I had to go play tennis. Now I want to ask you a little bit about the fight game because I know you're interested in that as well. You write also for HBO, is that correct?
Yeah, I do write about boxing for HBO.
So, you know, this is sort of an amorphous question, but, you know, we're in one of these moments here where boxing, to the casual observer, seems to have a vacuum of big names out there. You would probably give me, you know, off the top of your head, a dozen people who would be really worth watching. But the big curiosity factor, it seems the most urgent fight that people seem to want is Golovkin and Canelo. Does that seem like it's going to be happening?
From what I heard, it does sound like it's going to happen. Sounds like they both want to do it. I don't think it's going to be that good of a fight.
Why so?
Golovkin is going to murder him. I mean, Golovkin is a way better fighter than Canelo.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a great fight. I think Golovkin and Andre Ward is actually the best fight in boxing.
Yeah.
But Andre Ward went up in weight, so that's never going to happen. I think it'll happen.
One thing I love about Golovkin is he's a geezer. People think that he's like some 23-year-old guy. He's like 33, I believe. I mean, he's just been around for a long time because people have been afraid to fight him.
Yeah. And on the flip side, you know, Canelo started fighting pro when he was like 15.
Right.
So Canelo has like 45 fights and he's, you know, 25 years old or something.
Right.
So.
Have you been to the Barclays to watch the fights? I'm sure you have, right?
Yeah.
How is that as a scene?
It's good. You know, I like it a lot. I mean, I like Barclays. Barclays right. It's right in Brooklyn, yeah. You know, which is nice. I mean, you don't have to go somewhere. I used to have to go to Newark all the time to watch those fights.
Yeah.
Now those fights are all in Brooklyn. So it's nice. A nice stadium. You get to sit on the floor. You go cover them. Media privilege. So.
No, it is. I remember the first time I went to a boxing match and just being, a lot of sports are like this, but few sports, the divide between your television experience and the live experience is as sharp as it is in boxing, because things that look so benign on TV are not the least bit benign once you see it in real life.
It's violent, you know?
Yeah.
violent, and I mean, it's good to go to fights because you see how, you know, tribal boxing is. I mean, if you go to the fights in Brooklyn and, you know, there's Brooklyn fighters who've got the whole neighborhood is there, you know, and the Polish fighter got all the Polish people there, and the Irish fighter got all the Irish people there.
In some cases, they're literally, though, you know, handed clumps of tickets to sell. I love that part. It's like, okay, yeah, you want to be on the ticket here? Okay, here's 500 seats. You have to sell them or eat the money. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. As a business, I mean, it's probably one of the worst. It's got to be the worst run sport of all. I mean, I can't think of, you know, I've talked to fighters who ended up losing money to fight. Which is insane. And then you got to get beat up for it too.
That's amazing. Do you care at all about UFC?
Not really. I mean, I think it's fun to watch, but I don't know it. I don't understand it like I do boxing, so I can't really analyze it very intelligently.
Well, the nonsense hot take discussion point of the most recent vintages, Conor McGregor, the UFC loudmouth versus Floyd Mayweather. I don't know if they're saying it would be a boxing match or a no holds barred. No holds barred, you've just got to figure McGregor wins immediately.
Yeah.
And a boxing match, I guess it has to be no holds barred, because how would he beat him as a boxer? I mean, there's no way he beats Mayweather
as a
boxer.
That's why it's a pretty terrible fight either way, because whichever guy's fighting.
Yeah, so whoever's ruled,
fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why no boxer has ever succeeded in UFC, right? Like, in the early days, they tried to have boxers be in there, and they would always just, because as soon as somebody grabbed them and threw them on the ground, it's over, because they're not boxing anymore.
So. Yeah.
Pretty dumb.
It is a crazy, crazy world, and nothing ever starts or stops on time. You know, I kind of like that. You never have to be on time for anything in boxing.
Yeah, it's true. Unless there are like three first round knockouts on the undercard.
That's true.
And then it goes on really fast.
That's true. Hamilton, I'm so glad you joined us here on the Free For All podcast. Thanks so much for being part of it. If you are not familiar with Hamilton Nolan, you can find him at Gawker.com and another Gawker Media Empires, as well as HBO Sports. Hamilton, thanks a million.
Thanks a lot, man.
I really appreciate it. And good luck on those squats.
All right.
Thank you.
Adios. Bye-bye.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.